Yes, you could get Octavia's Brood. You could get Manning Marable, Pete Seeger, Susan Faludi, Margaret Mead, Molly Ivins, Ben Bell Hooks, Ken Kesey, Stokely Carmichael, Eldridge Cleaver, John Trudell, and Vandana Shiva. Just those are just some of the names on this flash drive that can be yours for the low, low membership of $75. But we do need to hear from you right now. 877-500-5266.
In fact, we could use one of you who wants to give $20 a month. That's $240 a year. I know that's possible for you out there. You can also just give 1 hour's wage. But the reason I was suggesting the $240 is because that's just about what we need to get for the rest of this hour, and we need it quickly. So we want you to go ahead and go there to the phone right now and pick it up at 877-500-5266. Make those donations right now.
Thanks.
And thanks, Linda and Liz. This is KBOO Portland. We're right in the middle of our fun drive for the fall, and we really appreciate all the phone calls coming in. Thanks very much for that. Next up, it's the food show today with a full slate of guests. And immediately following this important message, we'll get right to the food show.
Thank you to all the restaurants providing food for our volunteers today. Eclectic Kitchen, located at 4936 Northeast Fremont, provided breakfast, serving breakfast and lunch with locally sourced ingredients and with gluten-free options. Pizza A Go-Go, located at 3240 North Williams, provided lunch, serving pizzas, salads, using local ingredients, including gluten-free options, as well as delivery. Ciao Vito, located at 2203 Northeast Alberta, provided dinner, featuring seasonal organic Spanish-Italian fare using local produce and handmade pastas.
And this KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Deakum Street Doorway, a Linton seed and feed store, a feed and seed store, offering essentials for farm life in the city, including animal feeds, garden and landscape plants from local farms and nurseries, and seed garlic. Open Thursday through Sunday at 10 to 5:30 p.m. At Northeast Deakum and 8th, entrance on 8th, DeakumStreetDoorway.com. Also by The Garden Spout, specializing in indoor gardening equipment, including horticultural lighting, environmental control, hydroponic and organic nutrients, and pest control. The Garden Spout is located at 4532 Southeast 63rd, just south of Foster in Portland. Information at 503-788-GROW. Here comes the food show.
Need some food in my belly. Need some drink for the dry in my throat. Need for the world.
Welcome to the food show. I'm your host, Chris Siegel.
And I'm Rachel Bennett.
On this Pledge Drive edition of the food show today, we'll be talking with Chef Kathy Wims from the restaurant Nastrana about the Italian concept of cucina povera, or poor cooking.
Barbara Bernstein and Elaine Velasquez will be joining us in the studio to discuss their new documentary film, Gaining Ground, which will be premiering at the end of the month.
To get us started, though, we'll be talking with food writer David Baker on the phone. David lives in the Willamette Valley and recently published his debut novel, Vintage. It's an adventure story that involves food, wine, intrigue, and danger. If that kind of book piques your interest, or you decide you want a copy of the book during the food show today, we actually have signed copies available for a minimum pledge of $60. So give us a call here at KBOO. David also directed the documentary American Wine Story, which came out in 2014. David, welcome to the food show.
Thanks so much for having me. It's great what you and Rachel do to connect a really great food town with a rich food area. So I'm honored to be here.
Great, thanks. So, okay, full disclosure, I was going to skim the book in preparation for this interview, but when I started reading it, I found it really captivating. So I'm about a quarter of the way through the book. Bruno, the main character, has just been clubbed on the head for the first time. So without giving us too much of the plot, could you give us a synopsis of Vintage?
Sure, absolutely. I'll try and not slip any spoilers.
Yeah, no spoilers
for you. So, but yeah, it's about a washed up food writer who is he kind of has a shtick that is he's like the Dear Abby of food and wine. He recommends fixes to relationships through his column at a local paper, but the irony of it is that he's not really good at maintaining relationships himself, and he's estranged from his wife and family. So he finds a clue to a lost vintage of wine that sets him on a quest that could possibly become his next book, and so we follow him on his adventures to try and track down that lost wine and his attempt to resurrect his career.
So Bruno Tannenbaum, the protagonist in Vintage, like you, is a food writer and wine lover. How much of yourself did you write into the character?
I kind of like to think of him as more of an alter ego. I think one of the great things about writing fiction is that you get to try on other people who might have greater strengths or greater flaws than you do. So I think he's probably got a little of both of those. So, I'm probably closer to his wife in comparing all the characters in the book to me personally. So he's definitely a stretch. He's a lot more lively, colorful, and impulsive than I tend to be. So that's part of the fun of it.
So you mentioned his wife, and the idea of family is strongly represented in Vintage. What comes to mind is the scene where Bruno and he's in his ex-wife's home, or his estranged wife, and is cooking with his daughters, who are enthusiastically helping him with dinner. So why insert that importance of family in Bruno's quest?
I think that's one of the things that we all do as humans is we all have families, whether it's we have children or spouses or we are children, siblings, and that sort of thing. So it's just one of those things that connects all, and like food does, we all need to eat to survive. So I think the two go hand in hand. Some of the scenes with his daughters are some of my favorites. My own daughter and I like to cook together and experiment, so we tried out a lot of the recipes or meals that were in the book and tried them out in our kitchen, and largely we made game attempts at producing them, and so those are some of the fond memories that I have that I've tried to include in the book.
And just so we're having a little bit of trouble hearing you, if you could speak directly into the phone, I'm sure you are, but maybe it'll be a little bit more clear.
Okay, yeah, definitely. Sorry about that.
Oh, no worries.
There's a lot of travel in the novel, and I know you've spent a lot of time abroad. How much of the travel were you writing from first-hand experience?
I've probably been to about half of the places depicted in the book. So I first became interested in wine when I took a trip to France and Germany and stopped in the town of Beaune, which is in the capital of Burgundy. My mother's German, so I spent summers growing up traveling there and with my grandmother in Germany. So a lot of the descriptions came from the travel, but some of my favorite parts, there's a wedding scene in Moldova, which is largely researched through articles and watching Moldovan wedding videos on YouTube. So it's amazing what you can do with technology to put yourself in a place. And then the imagination that you bring to those places really make them come alive. And I think, again, that's part of the fun of fiction, is that you can imagine a place that may or may not exist. And sometimes I find that I'm a lot more accurate with the things that I imagine than the places I've actually been.
So we're going to kick it over to the Pledge Drive team in a moment, but this is, you made the leap from, being a writer, food writer, which is, mostly small nonfiction articles. What was it like to make the leap to writing a novel?
I kind of went backwards. I was working on the book and to learn a little about what the character did as a craft, I started writing short pieces. Food writers are amazing and talented, and in Portland, for example, there's so many great writers. Catherine Cole, who writes a lot for The Oregonian about food and wine, is just an example of people that have this ability that's almost magical to make food come alive. So for me, I tried to learn how to do that in order to help write the novel. So they're quite different, and actually I find writing a short piece a lot more challenging than writing a long piece. Just that's how I think as a writer.
Great. So we are in the middle of the pledge drive here at KBOO, and we're about to pass it off to Liz and Linda. But first, I just want to remind folks, the listeners, that if you are enjoying this interview and you think that you'd be interested in reading the book Vintage by our guest, David Baker, you can get a copy of the book by becoming a member at KBOO. So here's the pledge drive team to tell us more.
That's right. You can pick up a copy of David Baker's first novel, Vintage, for a $60 minimum membership. $60 parcels out to $5 a month, and you can become a member right now by calling 877-500-5266. If you think you'd like to become a member and you've got a little bit more than $60 a year to donate to KBOO, you can become a member at any amount above $60, and we'll still give you the book. So, for example, a $90 membership is $750 a month. A $10 a month membership is $120 a year. These numbers that we're suggesting are just guidelines. They're just suggestions. We know that you value this programming. We know that you value the unique programming that you hear on KBOO and hear nowhere else because you're listening to it right now. So take a moment and decide for yourself, how much do you value it? And then call us and let us know. 877-500-5266 or go online to kboo.fm.
And you know, while we're talking about online, I just got handed a nice list of people who have been becoming members this morning on kboo.fm. Alicia, a new member from Hillsboro who loved Lisa Loving's interview earlier.
Thanks, Alicia.
Dave from Tigard, Cosby from Portland, Phyllis from Portland. She said the phone was busy, so she gave online instead. Yay, Phyllis. Thanks for being...
That's a great problem to have.
Yeah, thanks for being a do-it-yourself person and just solving that problem. Michelle and Denny from Ridgefield, Washington. Thank you. And Joan from Portland, Sharon from Vancouver, and James from Portland. Thank all of you for becoming members online. That's at kboo.fm. I know they probably found it very easy because it's easy to do on our website. That's one of the ways that we make things easy for you here at KBOO, and something very different than, say, 10 years ago when I started at KBOO. Our website has been developing through the years. We're about to roll out a completely new one from some hardworking people who put together a grant to get it to happen. Mm-hmm. You are the type of people who make a difference with your dollars. It's easy to do, and if you love this food show, I also like the change of pace. Now we're getting to talk about food and raucous fun with food. So if you want to get the novel Vintage, it's call right now, 877-500-5266. Let me say it a little slower. 877-500-5266. That's the number to call to become a member. We've got phone answers standing by. Or if you're driving around or on your bike, please stop at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. Know that your dollars actually make a real difference. Thank you for calling KBOO.
Thanks so much.
So we are talking on the food show with David Baker about his debut novel, Vintage. So, David, I know you've got an experience as a garage winemaker. So how does that help you write the book and appreciate wine?
Well, I think there's a couple of things about that is that, one, you learn both how simple the process is. I mean, basically you pick some grapes and you stomp on them and add some yeast, and in a little while you have wine. But it also is an emphasis on how hard it is to make really good wine, so it creates an appreciation. And it's kind of like if you're going to write about anything, let's say, it's making bread or something like that, to have the kind of the feel or the textures of the parts of the process to be able to get those details down. So it's definitely helpful. Sometimes it's frustrating, when you have to pour 5 gallons down the drain, but at the same time, sometimes I surprise myself and it turns out pretty good.
And hopefully you don't have to do that too often, pouring out wine.
Right.
So you do currently live in the Willamette Valley, and that's in the heart of the Oregon wine industry. What is it that sets apart the Willamette Valley from other wine regions?
There's a couple of things. I first became interested in wine when traveling to Burgundy in France, and our region here has very similar climate. It's definitely distinct or different, but it's probably the one place in the country that's most closely resembles Burgundy in terms of its the profiles of the wine that we would make here. And the other thing about it is it's such a young industry. there are people that are just starting up. It's growing year by year. And in other areas like Napa or Sonoma, both of which are fantastic to visit, but they're much more mature, and there's less of that pioneer spirit, I think, than what you find here in the Willamette Valley. So that makes it really kind of exciting and vibrant.
And you deal with wine a lot, and the character in the book, Bruno, does make recommendations. I'm wondering if you have any recommendations, anything you've tried recently, or a vineyard that has excited you as of late.
Yeah, you know, it's always kind of that, it's like a book or a film, you know, it's like, what's your favorite? It's that last great one that you had that you remember. You know, there's so many to think about, but I think one that I always go back to that I recommend folks try is Alsatian Riesling. And when I was working on the film American Wine Story, we talked to dozens and dozens of winemakers, and it was really interesting how all these winemakers, a lot of whom make these very bold, big red wines like Cabernets and Zinfandels and things like that, so many of them went back to their favorite wine being an Alsatian Riesling. It's just a really bracing acidity. It's a food-friendly wine. It's a different approach to making Riesling. So I've been drinking a lot of that, and that's something that I've discovered more recently. But you can't beat an Oregon Pinot either. There's so many great ones being produced in Portland and in the Valley that we have a lot to choose from.
What inspires you to continue writing about food?
It's just one of those touchstone experiences. It's something that we do every day, and it changes. And I think so much of our personal culture and our personal values are wrapped up in food, and that's what makes us individuals. But then there's so much of human history and stories of, you know, mass migrations of people cultural traditions and family traditions wrapped up into it. And so, I mean, food is just, it's like people, you know, it's endlessly fascinating, and there's so many angles that you can explore when you're writing about it.
You mentioned earlier the documentary film American Wine Story. Could you tell us a little bit about that project?
Sure. Yeah, it's something that I produced with a couple of other filmmakers here in Corvallis, Justin Smith and Kagan Sims, and a Portland resident, Truan Pence. We set out to make a film, and we're excited about the visual aspects of wine, because grapes, like people, really enjoy beautiful landscapes. That's where they thrive. So we thought it'd be a visually stunning subject to cover. But our angle was we interviewed a lot of people who used to do something else and who quit their day job or career and left it behind to get into the wine industry. So one of the main people that we focus on is somebody who grew up in Portland, Jimmy Brooks. His family story and struggles, and he actually passed away just before harvest at a very young age, and his sister Janie took over the business to try and keep it thriving for his young son. So it's a really moving story. It has a lot of Portland connections, and hopefully folks that are interested in wine in Oregon will take a look at it.
So we are about out of time, but this is, I feel like, the curse of writing the debut novel, is that then people start asking you about the next project. So I'm going to do that. What's going to follow up vintage?
I think there are a lot more stories in food and wine. So I'm at work on something that deals with wine and food. It's tentatively called Flyover Country, and it's set in rural Missouri, and there's a little bit of Delta blues and local farm culture involved in it. So that seems to be going well. So hopefully in another year or two, we'll be doing this all again.
Great. That sounds wonderful. Well, David, thank you so much for joining us on The Food Show.
Well, it's great. It's great to be here, and thanks for what you are doing, and it's an honor.
That was David Baker, author of the novel Vintage. If you want to support KBOO and receive a signed copy of Vintage all at the same time, Liz and Linda are about to tell you how you can do that.
And it's easy to do. Thank you, Chris and Rachel. Thanks for bringing us these interesting guests, and this book sounds like so much fun. It's only $60 a year pledge. That's $5 a month. For many of you out there, that's entirely doable. And so you're getting a great book. Maybe it's somebody you love as a more a foodie or a winer, a person who loves wine. You're going to get it for them for Christmas. All you have to do is call us at 877-500-5266 and make that pledge of $5 a month. You know, you could make $120 a year and get two of the books. We have a limited number, but I'm pretty sure we've got at least two left. And we have a goal for this hour. Every hour we have a goal, right, Liz?
That's right. And this hour's goal is $400. So we're looking for a bunch of folks to call up. We could break that down to four people calling in becoming members at $100 a year, or eight people becoming members at $50 a year, or break it down however you like. It really doesn't matter. The amount that you contribute doesn't matter. What does matter is that you pick up the phone right now and call 877-500-5266 or go online anywhere on planet Earth at kboo.fm.
And when they ask you, what do you like about KBOO, say, I love the food show.
Let's hear it for the
food
show.
You know, I love the food show. I love to hear the variety of programming they do, all the different kinds of areas they cover, and the food. I like to think about food, especially right before lunch. So, you know, give us a call. You're out there. It's the middle of your day. This will make your day for the rest of it because you became a member of KBOO, and you got a great book to read.
So it's a win-win.
That novel is Vintage by David Baker. You've been hearing him talk about it. I know he's intrigued you. It's $60 a year minimum pledge, $5 a month if we do it by electronic funds transfer. That means we take it out of your checking account or your credit card once a month, and they do it on the same day every month, so real easy to keep a track of if you want to do that. But you got to start the process, and that's calling us at 877-500-5266. Or like all those people we thanked in the last break, you can go online to kboo.fm. It only takes a few minutes. I love the other method, which is walk in our front door. It's finally getting sunny out there today. If you're out and about, please take a moment. We're on 20 Southeast 8th. That's just south of Burnside. We're right there on that block on 8th and Burnside. On the east side, you'll see a big mural. We'd love to have you come down. Give us your money in person, and we'll take you on a tour of the station, and we'll feed you any old food we have still around here today. But whatever way you do it, please become a member right now. And if you tune in to catch the food show, you want to hear what the latest thing our hosts are bringing you is, then especially I'm talking to you, specifically to you, take this moment right now to show your support for that particular kind of programming. It's easy to do. Honest to gosh, we have these great phone answers back there. They love talking to you. It's 877-500-5266.
That's right. And we've been talking a lot about sustaining memberships, in other words, giving a certain amount per month. And the reason that we talk about that is because this is fast becoming the most popular way to become a member. Over 40% of our members give monthly, and on average, they donate about $11.50 a month. This provides the most stable funding for the station, and the more money that we raise this way means less interrupted programming for you, so we can get back to all of the terrific public affairs programming that we offer you during the week. The other great benefit for you is that this happens automatically. Once you set up the transfer, you don't have to remember it. We don't have to bill you. You don't have to think about it. It just happens, and it will continue to happen until you tell us to stop. If you are current with your membership and already a sustaining member, think about increasing your membership. So if you're already a member at $5 a month, how about bumping that up to $7.50 a month? Become a $90 a year member. How about bumping it up another $5 a month to $120 a year membership? You'll receive a copy of David Baker's book, Vintage, signed by David Baker, his first novel, for just $60. And, it's a great win-win. You get a gift, we get your support, and everybody wins. It's good. What's stopping you? Pick up the phone. Call. You never write. You never call. 877-500-5266. If you're not near a phone or it's not safe for you to call right now because you're driving, please don't call while you're driving. pull off to the side and either call us or go to kboo.fm. You can reach us there anywhere on planet Earth.
You know, Liz, all of the people who do the food show are volunteers, just like Liz and I are.
That's right.
A lot of us are volunteer programmers. They're definitely volunteer programmers and program hosts. And show your support for that. It's really exciting. You know, one of the things why we can have a passionate show about food is because we're community, and all these different members of the community can talk passionately about food and bring you local people to do it. That's a wonderful thing about community radio. So take a moment right now, show that love of food, show that love of the foodies who bring you the show.
And show that love of your community radio station that brings you this unique programming you can't find anywhere else. And how do you do that?
You do it by calling 877-500-5266. Just pick up the phone right now or do it online at kboo.fm. Don't hesitate.
That's right. We're going to get back to the show in just a moment, but I just want to remind you all of our goal. We have $400 that we want to raise this hour, and we can do that, but only with your support. Call us right now. 877-500-5266, and thank you.
This is Rachel Bennett with The Food Show on KBOO. Here on The Food Show, we strive to bring you, the listeners, interesting, inspiring, and pertinent information. We volunteer our time, so if you appreciate what you're hearing and you can donate some money, we greatly appreciate whatever you can manage.
So every so often, we like to talk with chefs around Portland to see what's happening and to get a touch of food history. One of our favorite chefs is Kathy Wims. Kathy is the head chef at Nostrana and is deeply involved in the Portland food community. We have her on the show today to talk about cucina povera, or poor cooking. It has become popular in high-end cooking, but has its roots in subsistence living and eating for sustenance. Kathy, welcome back to The Food Show.
Thanks, Chris. Hi, Rachel. Thank you for having me.
So, cucina povera has gained a lot of popularity, but the idea is based more on need than on a fad restaurant concept. Could you give us some of the background on cucina povera?
Well, cucina povera, which translates as the poor kitchen, is very rustic, simple food that makes use of ingredients that perhaps in a more well-to-do way of cooking maybe be thrown away, like stale bread and lots of beans. It's very vegetable-centric. A lot of gathered wild vegetables are incorporated. It's very, it's kind of typical of southern Italy more than northern Italy, although it certainly is true luck all over Italy. And it's very, I think it's become really popular because it's actually a really healthy way to eat. And it's because it is so vegetable-centric, that meat is made to go a long way, so it's not the center of the meal. And vegetables are really important and used. In southern Italy, everyone pretty much has their own vegetable garden, and they cook from that. And I think that I think Americans are kind of embracing that way of eating, as we want to eat healthier, but also the realization that things taste so much fresher when they're very vegetable oriented.
And when did you come across the concept?
Oh, I when I started traveling to Italy, when I was still at Genoa Restaurant. And the more I traveled to Italy, the more I realized that sort of the food that I was serving was not really how people really ate. Like Genoa was a special occasion restaurant, so things are very luxurious and expensive ingredients. And as I was traveling, I was like, wow, this food is so vibrant and fresh and amazing, but it's not like rich and full of lots of butter and full of, you know, things like foie gras and lots of meat and rack of lamb. And I just really just fell in love with it. And I wanted to start cooking it. And actually, that was sort of the inspiration for Nostrana when we opened 10 years ago. We're turning 10 in October this year. So we're celebrating our anniversary.
Are there some traditional recipes that are part of the Cucina Povera history?
Well, I think one classic one would be pizza. I mean, basically pizza was like taking a piece of bread dough and stretching it and putting a very small amount of toppings on it, and then it becomes a meal. And it's very, it's inexpensive. It doesn't use a lot of anything. Another thing is very traditional is to never throw away your stale bread. Like, the bread always goes into something. There's lots of dishes in Cucina Povera that use stale bread. There's soups, like a famous one is called Papa al Pomodoro, which basically means sort of baby. Papa means baby food, but it refers to the texture because it's a tomato soup that's thickened with bread, and so it's sort of soft and kind of like the texture of like oatmeal, maybe, even though that's not really the best description. But a porridgey, more like porridgey. And it has basil in it and garlic and good olive oil, and it's just one of my favorite soups of all.
So when we're talking about, you know, what actually goes into this cooking, it's kind of a diet that's in line with vegetarianism because it takes a lot of the focus off the protein. So how do you make Cucina Povera accessible to someone who's used to a heavy meat diet?
That's a really good question. I think you just have to, it's, you know, how you spin it, and just to get people excited about what's fresh. And in Portland, we're so lucky because we have so many, you know, amazing farms, you know, around Portland and outside of Portland, really close by, that when you're cooking with ingredients that are so pure and just straight from the earth, the flavor is so amazing that it's easy to convert people. It's been very easy at Nostrana. In fact, I would say, even though we have, you know, the American concept of an entree, which they actually don't have in Italy. They call it a secondo, and it's just as equal to the first course, which is they call prima, which is usually a pasta or a soup or a risotto. It's like, it's not like there's this big entree that comes with lots of meat. And so at Nostrana, we really try, even in our more, what would the word be, traditional, like entree part of the menu, we try and really make sure that there's like a good portion of that is like delicious vegetables on the side, or in Italy they would call that contorni. And actually the major things that sell at Nostrana tend to be our pastas, our pizzas, and our vegetable dishes and salads. So it's actually not difficult at all.
And you've mentioned, like, there's a lot of things you can do, sort of the saving of stale bread and using that in dishes. What are other ways that the home cook can apply Cucina Povera to their practice?
Well, you know how we all, when we cook pasta, we usually don't cook the whole pound of pasta. And if you guys are like me, I have, on a regular basis, little parts of, little bits of different shapes of pasta. And so in Italy, they would take that, they call it pasta mista, mixed pasta, and they would cook them all together in a dish, like maybe in a soup, maybe in as a pasta dish on its own. And the different textures of the different shapes, because they cook at different rates, are actually really interesting. Like some will stay very al dente, and some will be a little softer. And the contrast of the texture of the different shapes and the different cooking time is actually really pleasing. They go great in a bean soup, are great in like a pasta salad. Really delicious.
So you have an event coming up where you've invited an Italian chef, William Zonfa, I hope he said his name right.
Yes.
To join you at Nostrana. Could you tell us a little bit about what that visit entails?
Well, he's coming to celebrate our 10th anniversary, and so we're going to have a luncheon in the Italian style. The big meal of the day, particularly on Sunday, is usually in the afternoon, and to celebrate our anniversary. And he has a restaurant in L'Aquila, which is a famous town that was actually quite destroyed by the earthquake that hit Abruzzo and Umbria in 2009. But he has achieved a Michelin star. He's very focused on pasta and sort of modernizing Cucina Povera to suit, you know, a Michelin one-star restaurant. And he's coming to spend 2 days with my kitchen staff to learn the dishes that he's going to prepare here. So we're so excited because we're going to learn dishes that we've never made ourselves.
So tell us, you know, I think there's the menu. You can actually see it online. What are some of the things that he's planning on bringing to Nastrana?
Well, one of the dishes he's going to do, which is a very famous traditional dish in Abruzzo, is called La Virtù, which means the virtues. And it's a soup that combines almost, back to Cucina Povera, almost everything in the kitchen sink, except the kitchen sink. So, like, maybe all the little bits of vegetables that you have in your refrigerator, your carrot, your celery stalk, your half an onion left from the night before. And then also like beans, like it has several different kinds of beans in it. And then mixed pasta, the pasta mista that we talked about. And so the story is that it was virtuous because you're using up everything. But there's also kind of a, remember the story about stone soup? There's one of the stories about, they say, how the soup was created, but there were seven different very virtuous ladies, and each one of them brought their own ingredient to this soup. Like one brought an herb, one brought a carrot, one brought the pasta, one brought the beans, and then they mixed it all together, and that's what became the soup.
So I'm curious a little bit more about the history of Cucina Povera. Is it something that still exists now? Did it kind of fade out? And when did it kind of come into being a part of the culture?
Well, it has existed always. And I think it's just become more and more popular as people discovered the Mediterranean diet and the food pyramid. And so people who didn't, you know, it came out of necessity, and yet now it's, if people choose it, even if, you know, it's not out of necessity. There's a very famous dish from Puglia that you will find in the nicest restaurants all over Italy now. It's kind of shocking, and yet it comes from the tradition of Cucina Povera. It's a fava bean puree served with sautéed rapini or broccoli rob with lots of garlic and a good amount of olive oil. And yet I've seen it in like white tablecloth Michelin restaurants, you know, and other parts of Italy, not in Puglia as well. So it's really, you know, people are really embracing it.
And how does seasonality play in Cucina Povera? I feel like it's really based on what you have available. Yeah, how does it change throughout the year?
Well, it changes, you know, based on what the vegetables are coming from the garden. So we all know eggplant parmigiano. Well, when I was traveling in Italy last year, I got served two different versions of a parmigiano. So instead of eggplant, when winter squash was in season, they replaced it with sautéed slices of winter squash. And in the springtime, I had a version of it with borage, which is sort of a wild gathered herb. So it does change. The techniques kind of stay the same, but the ingredients change with the season and based on what's available.
And then we've talked about a lot of the benefits. You know, one of the primary benefits is the ability to save money. We've got about a minute left, but just tell us some of the other benefits. I mean, you know, there's got to be health, all
for
sorts.
Sure. I mean, we all know we need more vegetables. Fiber, certainly. Beans and vegetables have lots of fiber. It mainly uses olive oil because it comes from the region where olives provide the main fat. And so we all know olive oil is really good for us. And antioxidants. The food has lots of antioxidants.
Great. Kathy, thank you so much for talking with us.
Oh, you're welcome. I love being on your show. Thank you.
That was Kathy Wims, the chef at Nostrana in Portland. And you're listening to The Food Show on KBOO Community Radio. And it is almost lunchtime. If you enjoyed that segment, you enjoyed hearing about the delicious food that you can find here in Portland, Oregon, and you want to hear more about it in the future, now is the time for you to make your pledge to KBOO. You can call the number 877-500-5266. I'm going to pass things off to Liz and Linda to tell you more about how you can make your pledge and become a member.
And how you become a member is really simple. You just call 877-500-5266. That's toll free in the continental United States. And if you're outside the continental United States, you can still reach us for free anywhere on planet Earth at KBOO.FM. This is a great opportunity to show your support for KBOO, show your support for the food show. I mean, it's only appropriate that Portland, which is such a mecca of food culture here in the Northwest, have a food show. And you don't hear this kind of programming, you don't hear this kind of in-depth interviews about the local food scene anywhere else. We know that this kind of unique programming matters to you and that you value it. So how much do you value it? Is it $5 a month? Is it $10 a month? $7.50 a month? That's up to you to decide. We're not going to decide that for you, but we are going to ask you to take a moment, put a dollar value on what you think KBOO means to you, and then call 877-500-5266. We'd like to thank Russell in West Lynn, who renewed his membership. Thank you, Russell. And let's hear it for Barbara in Southeast Portland, a new member. She's new to town and so excited to find community radio here. We're happy to have you on board, Barbara. But what about the rest of you out there? What are you waiting for? Now is the time. We've only got about 20 minutes left in the food show, and this is if this is a show that you tune into regularly, this would be a great opportunity for you to show your support right now. 877-500-5266.
Now, we've been listening to Rachel and Chris talking with Kathy Wims from Nostrama and hearing about cocina povera, or cooking with the leftovers, basically, is what it sounded like to me. And it was a great idea and a great idea for all of us. We also, before that, had a novelist, David Baker, with a novel called Vintage. You can still get that book. There's a few copies left. That's a $5 a month let me say that again. That's a $5 a month contribution from you. Really not very much money. A lot of money when you're really desperate, but not very much for most of us if we have a regular income. You know, it's something, but it's not too much. I think go ahead and do that right now. It's 877-500-5266. Now, I know some of you foodies out there have a little bit more money and you like to use it on food. How about using it on food programming? That's the way to do it. It's 877-500-5266. Take a moment out of your day right now and show your support for this programming at KBOO.
Or go to KBOO.FM. Thanks again to Russell and Barbara and to all of you who've already become or renewed your memberships, and we're waiting to hear from the rest of you.
We're here in the studio on the food show. With us, we have Elaine Velasquez and Barbara Bernstein, who created the documentary Gaining Ground. So it tells the stories of farmers making extraordinary changes in their farming practices so they can help feed their local communities sustainably grown produce and grains. And Gaining Ground will be premiering here in Portland at the end of the month, September 30th to October 1st at Cinema 21. Welcome to the studio, ladies.
Thank you.
So tell us about what inspired the creation of the documentary film Gaining Ground.
It was all Barbara's fault. Well, actually, I've been interested in food issues for a really long time, and I did a couple radio documentaries that touched on the importance of recreating local food systems. So I convinced Elaine this was a good subject for a film, and plus it's so visual that it seemed like it was a waste to just have it on the radio. So we went around and met some pretty amazing farmers over the last few years. Sungold Farm in Verbord, Oregon, near Forest Grove, who's transitioned from being a commodity dairy, almost going out of business, to being a very thriving produce farm. They grow over 100 varieties of fruits and vegetables, and they do everything through direct marketing, CSAs, and farmers markets. And then there was Stalford Seed Farms in Tangent, Oregon, which is transitioning from being a massive grass seed and commercial wheat farm to growing organic grains. And then we had the good fortune to happen upon a woman named Doria Robinson in Richmond, California, who leads a program called Urban Tilth, which is this amazing urban agriculture program.
She not only grows organic food in what's a food desert, it's a community of color. It's got Chevron refinery over its town, and she hires people and summer jobs for kids and teaches how to grow your own food to the kids in the schools besides growing the produce that's open to the public that feeds the community.
So the last time you were on the food show, the film was on its way to being to completion, and now it's done. I'm curious, how did you decide which people to include in the film or which people to interview and document originally?
You can tell if somebody's good, if they can talk, if they've got charisma. And it's very personal. All these stories are extremely personal. They're not on a soapbox. They each have gone through their experiences and their commitment to feeding their communities. And it was fairly obvious. I mean, the only one that I didn't want in the film that ended up in the film and turned out to be wonderful was Willow. The first time we interviewed her.
She's with Stalford Seed Farms.
Stalford Seed Farms. She grows with her husband, who's the grass seed farmer, Harry Stalford. I wasn't sure about her, and then I'm very glad that she and Harry are in the film.
Actually, I had a conversation with Doria Robinson from Richmond on the phone. I'd read an article where she was quoted, and I thought, I have to talk to this woman. She sounds like an amazing program. In Richmond, California, of all places, growing sustainable food has seemed pretty much of a contradiction. So I emailed her, and she emailed me right back and said, let's talk, and I called her. And as soon as I started talking to her, I knew she had to be in the film. And she was really hard to keep track of. I mean, she's a really busy woman, really overextended, but so articulate and so eloquent and so powerful. And she's a real cornerstone of the film.
When we drove down to California, we had like plans, but no real, I'm director, I've been doing film for a long time. I was nervous. I said, we don't even know why we're going here. And Doria had sort of dropped out. We thought we were going to see her that time, but she dropped out. And then thank God we found her and the very first interview. I mean, she's amazing. She's articulate and she's just you really care about this woman, and she's brilliant.
And you care about the people she's working with. I mean, what's amazing about the program, Urban Tilth, is not just that they're growing food for the community, but they're growing a whole new generation of leaders. And these young people that they are engaging in the program are developing the kind of leadership skills that they, too, are going to be Doria Robinsons. I mean, she's raising a whole lot of little Dorias.
It's not just food for her. It's lifting up the community.
So what was your engagement like on these different farms and with these different communities?
What was my engagement?
Yeah, did you spend a lot of time on these farms and with the communities?
Well, we filmed for 5 years.
Well, it's 3.5 years, 4 years that we're filming, but it wasn't as long as it felt.
She not only corrects me in life, she corrects me on the radio. We filmed. We went down to Richmond, I believe, at least 7 times. We drove down to Richmond. And as far as Stalford and Sungold, they're much closer. So, yeah, we did a lot of filming, an awful lot of filming in the fields, filming them harvesting, and besides the interviews, a lot.
Actually, when we were doing an Indiegogo campaign a couple years ago, we had Vicki Hurdle, who's one of the matriarch of Sungold Farm. She did a little pitch for us in the beginning, and she said that we were there so much, so here they come again. It's Barbara and Elaine. But, I mean, we actually were there so much.
Filming every bit of our farm, whether we like it or not. Yeah, is what you said.
I think they liked it, though. Yeah.
So, you've talked a little bit about how the farmers have served and empowered their communities. What really struck you about the power of these people and how they influenced the people around them?
Well, there's an incredible commitment on all their parts. I mean, for Vicki and Charlie and Sungold Farms, they were sort of forced out of business by the DEQ. As far as Willow, she had a commitment. It took her years and years to get her stubborn grass seed farmer to do any food. And what am I forgetting?
And Urban Tilth.
Oh, Urban Tilth. Yeah, they're a miracle. They're what was the question?
how they influenced
She's inspirational.
Yeah.
I mean, she got out of Richmond, got a really good education, came back, and is lifting up these kids, really making them leaders, inspiring them and giving them a chance.
I think about them every time I'm in my garden digging and thinking about, you know, the whole thing of nurturing your soil, which is one of the things I've learned a lot from being around these farmers. But I particularly think about urban tilth and the amount of care that they're growing, that they're giving to the soil that they're growing food in, and to the community that they're also rebuilding. So I think that I think about them the most probably when I'm in my garden.
Well, speaking of giving to your community, if you want to donate today to KBOO, we're going to go to talk to the ladies over at the fundraiser and find out how you can be part of the KBOO community.
And how you can become a part of our community right now by calling 877-500-5266 or go online to kboo.fm. The food show is one of my favorite public affairs shows on cable. I always try to tune in when I can because I am definitely interested in food, and Portland is a great center for food. But I love the fact that we focus on not just the high-end stuff, but, you know, cooking with leftovers and cooking for poor people and people of color, learning how to grow sustainable food, things like that. And it's all about building community. And that's what we're doing here. And that's what you do when you become a member. You're helping us build and grow and sustain our community. And you can do that again by calling 877-500-5266.
That's right. This is Linda here. I want to invite you to call that number as well, 877-500-5266. Call right now and renew your membership, or if it's for the first time, become a member of Community Radio. You know, I love hearing about this new film that Barbara and Elaine have come out with, because one of the things I remember, you know, as a child is being told about how important the Willamette Valley was, one of the most fertile valleys in the world. And I've actually, you know, picked beans and berries in that valley, and I've worked in the canneries of that valley, and our food sources are so important. And so to hear about these farmers who are turning away from, you know, the agribusiness model and going to what's really needed in our communities is really wonderful. You get to hear that kind of programming here on KBOO. If you're lucky, you get to hear Barbara almost every Monday, and you get to hear the food show. You know, show your support for that kind of programming. Show your support for learning about things you might not hear about anywhere else. It's easy to do. We say that, but it really is. It only takes a few minutes. You dial the number. So pull out your smartphone or go to your landline if you have one, or however you'd like to do that. It's 877-500-5266. We're working towards a goal, and we need your support. Thank you for that phone ringing. We love to hear that. Show your support for the food show. Show your support for the kind of programming that you're hearing, where we're talking about this new film, Gaining Ground, a film about food justice and feeding communities sustainably.
And there's another way that you can show your support and also get a chance to see Gaining Ground when it premieres in Portland on September 30th or October 1st. You can become a member at the $60 level and receive a pair of tickets to see Gaining Ground. This is a terrific opportunity. It's a win-win. You support KBOO. You get to see the film. We know that this interests you because you're listening right now. So take a moment and call 877-500-5266. If you're already a member and your membership is current and you're already a sustaining member, take a moment and think about if you could increase your level of membership. So if you're already a $60 a year member, could you double that? Could you become a $120 a year member? Because then you can get a pair of tickets. We've only got two tickets, folks, just two. So you need to be the first one to call and you'll snap them up. That's 877-500-5266. Linda, you mentioned the opportunity to hear Barbara here on KBOO every Monday on her program Locus Focus. She's been doing fantastic in-depth investigative reporting about the environment here on KBOO for, gosh, Barbara, how many years? Since the earth cooled, right?
8,000.
Something like that. So, you know, we really value her contributions to KBOO. And all of that, of course, is done as a volunteer. Every voice you hear on the air here at KBOO is somebody volunteering their time. And we think that that's important. That's our way of contributing to KBOO for a lot of us. A lot of us are also contributing members financially. We ask you to take a moment and value KBOO financially. We know that you value it by listening to it, but take a moment and take that extra step and put a dollar value on how much you think KBOO means to you, and then give us a call, 877-500-5266. Remember, $60 will get you that pair of tickets to see Gaining Ground. That's on Wednesday, September 30th and Thursday, October 1st at Cinema 21. This is a $60 membership, and that, again, supports KBOO and gets you in to see the film, supports sustainable food. It's a win-win all the way around. If you're not near a phone, you can do this online. Go to kboo.fm and become a member that way.
Yes, do it right now. Right now is what makes a difference, because we're on a goal and we only have a little bit of time left in this. We're hearing about important issues with food. We're also hearing about exciting developments like this new movie, Gaining Ground. Please take a moment right now. It's 877-500-5266. You know, you can support KBOO really easily. You can do an electronic funds transfer. That's where we take a little bit of your money every month. And that helps us pay our monthly bills. Just like you have monthly bills, we have them as well. You are the person who can make a difference. If you support the food show, you support KBOO in general, please pick up the phone right now or go to the website, kboo.fn. A lot of you have been doing that this morning. So that's kboo.fm/give if you want to do it quickly. It's also calling us at 877-500-5266.
And thank you so much.
Here we are in the studio with Elaine Velasquez and Barbara Bernstein talking about their new documentary film, Gaining Ground. So you brought a clip in that we're going to listen to. So tell us a little bit of background for this clip.
This clip introduces the three stories, and it's just a little, you know, it's like about a minute long.
So it starts with Doria Robinson, who's the director of Urban Tilth in Richmond, California. Then it goes to Vicki Hertel, who's the co-owner of Sungold Farm in Forest Grove or Verbort. And then goes down to Tangent, and we hear the voices of Harry Stalford, the grass seed farmer, and Willow Coberly, his wife, who is dedicated to transforming their farm into a place that grows food.
When we first started that garden with just a few beds, we had like six beds out there. Everybody was like, well, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? And you're like, it's just gonna trash it. Nobody wants to eat that food. It's out here. 6 years later, 42 beds now. The food's constantly being eaten. People come and they sit there. And now it's looked at as the oasis on the Greenway. And we were told not to do it.
Back when we milked cows, they asked what you were, and if they couldn't smell it on your boots and already know what you were, and you told them, they go, oh, okay, and that was about the end of the conversation. But nowadays, you say you're a farmer, well, what do you grow? And then you say fruits and vegetables without the use of chemicals, and all at once, there's a crowd.
We consider ourselves in the Willamette Valley as conventional grass seed growers, and we produce 50 to 60% of the grass seed that's consumed in the world.
I've never been comfortable growing lawns and golf courses when there's a worldwide food shortage. When I first started going out with Harry, I was surprised that people grew grass for a living and didn't feel morally comfortable with it. So I asked him why he wasn't growing food crops, and he basically said money.
We are grass seed farmers. And by damn it, we're going to be grass seed farmers. And we're not going to do anything else. We're not going to switch over to organic farming, especially organic farming. My gosh, you know, I have to live in this community.
That was a clip from Gaining Ground, a film documentary that will be premiering at the end of the month. Tell us how we can go see the documentary.
It's showing at Cinema 21, which is at 616 Northwest 21st. I think it's between Hoyt and Irving in Northwest Portland. It starts at 7 o'clock both on Wednesday, September 30th, and Thursday, October 1st. And after the screening, which is about 80 minutes long, we'll have a panel discussion, and we're having all the farmers from Oregon. And actually, on Wednesday night, we're going to have a number of people from Urban Tilth who are coming up. They're driving up to Portland for the screening. And on Wednesday night as well, after the panel discussion, we're going to have a reception.
Fabulous. Well, thank you, ladies, so much for being on the show. Thank you for your work.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Barbara Bernstein and Elaine Velasquez, who created the film Gaining Ground.
That's it for this episode of the KBOO Food Show. If you missed any of the show or want to listen back, you can find the episode archived at kboo.fm. I want to thank our guests, David Baker, Kathy Wims, Barbara Bernstein, and Elaine Velasquez for being on today's show. And if you make a pledge to KBOO right now, there are still signed copies of David Baker's debut novel available. Now's the time to become a member. All you got to do is call 877-500-5266. And thank you for supporting KBOO. I also want to thank our wonderful board operator, Tammy. Stay with KBOO this afternoon, starting with Jazz Lives. And don't forget to tune in again the third Wednesday of October for another episode of The Food Show. Until then, I'm Chris Siegel.
And I'm Rachel Bennett.
Thanks for listening.
Need some food in my belly. Need some drink for the dry in my throat. Need for the world to recognize it. Everybody's.
And you're tuned to KBOO Portland. That's it for Public Affairs Programming on KBOO this morning. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland Saturday Market, from our hands to yours, celebrating 42 years of American arts and crafts, freshly prepared fruits with an international flavor, and local music every Saturday and Sunday from February 28th through Christmas Eve. Local artisans, international food, live music, portlandsaturdaymarket.com. Also by Grendel's, a neighborhood coffee house offering organic coffee, sandwiches for breakfast and lunch, and Wi-Fi. Proud to support KBOO, Grendel's is open every day at East Burnside and 8th. Information at 503-595-9550 or facebook.com/Grendel's Coffee House. Stay tuned for jazz after an important announcement. And the Wednesday noon news.
Thank you to all the restaurants providing food.